Thank you, Blessing and Jonga. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Friday, October 17th, 2014. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Sandra Nyaira.
And I'm Chris Gande.
Here are our top stories this evening.
Violence erupted for the second time in less than a week in First Lady Grace Mugabe's Meet the People tour as she moves to take over the leadership of the powerful Women's League at the party's elective congress in December.
The stakes are high for one side. They believe it is now their time to snatch power from the hands of Manduru.
A Harare editor is arrested today after calling on President Robert Mugabe to step down in a petition delivered to the office of the head of state.
And the Morgan Tsvangirai-led MDC is tomorrow holding a crucial national council meeting to discuss the outcome of provincial election nominations ahead of the party's congress at the end of the month.
We are going to deal with quite a number of items. Number one, we are going to deal with the logistics of congress. The transportation, food, accommodation of all the delegates.
Violence erupted for the second time in less than a week in First Lady Grace Mugabe's Meet the People tour as she moves to take over the leadership of the powerful Women's League at the party's elective congress in December. Youths from opposing factions today clashed over slogans where Mrs. Mugabe was addressing her last rally in the tour. The youth groups are said to belong to factions backing Vice President Joyce Mujuru and Justice Minister Emmerson Mnangagwa, which has the support of Mrs. Mugabe. President Mugabe's increasingly powerful wife continued to attack Vice President Joyce Mujuru without mentioning her name. Yesterday, Mrs. Mugabe threatened Mrs. Mujuru with expulsion from the party if she did not repent from allegations she leveled against him. The First Lady repeated her allegation that factionalism originated from Mashonaland and Central Province, home to the Vice President. She also alleged that the opposition MDC was formed in the unnamed faction leader's home. The First Lady also alleged that the same factional leader was trying to force President Robert Mugabe not to contest in the 2018 elections.
Mr. Mugabe is now 90, and uncertainty over his succession and concern over his age and failing health continue to divide the government. Mrs. Mugabe also claimed she could speak in tongues, saying the media is free to interpret her speeches negatively or positively. She also took a swipe at ZANU-PF Mashonaland East Chairman Ray Kaukonde for allegedly lying to her that there was no factionalism in Mashonaland East. She also attacked the gathering when she said in 2008 she almost punched Kaukonde because of factionalism. Reached for comment, Kaukonde laughed off the remarks and promised to call back later, which he had not yet done by the time we went on air. Mrs. Mugabe's speeches in the 10 rallies have left ZANU-PF divided, with analysts saying political temperatures are dangerously getting higher in the party. Some party members are openly calling on the Vice President Mujuru to step down following Mrs. Mugabe's speech. Mrs. Mujuru and her team have not commented on the allegations. Political analyst and former war veteran Bernard Manyadze tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that factionalism in the ruling party is now a threat to economic recovery.
It is to do with the power struggle, and the stakes are high for one side. They believe it is now their time to snatch power from the hands of Manduru, and probably Manduru may find time to counteract this, but it may be too late. So I'm afraid that this struggle may be more fierce after the Congress than what we are seeing now.
But what are the implications to the country, especially in terms of investment?
Terrible implications. Nobody is investing. In fact, nobody is talking about the economy anymore. Comrade Ishinamasa is a lone ranger. Nobody is supporting him. And as I'm saying, nobody is talking about the economy anymore. Everybody is focused on control and power. This is what I may call rivalry in Congress. It is power at all costs.
Lastly, what is your take on the entrance of the First Lady into the ZANU-PF politics at this juncture?
This is unprecedented. We had Mrs. Chitepo. She was not full voltage upwards, like the very fortunate First Lady. My Chitepo was the way. In the case of my Mugabe, she is taking off the brush for popularity, for the husband's popularity. And whether or not this is going to be successful, we have to wait and see.
And that was political analyst and former war veteran Bernard Manyadze speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
Meanwhile, ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo says his party is seeking $8 million to successfully host its December elective congress. Gumbo says his party has set up a fundraising committee to ensure there are enough resources to fund the congress. He says each province has been tasked to raise $150,000. ZANU-PF recently held its youth and women's conferences, but they were marred by lack of funds. Gumbo spoke with reporter Jonga Kandemiri earlier on.
$8 million is our budget. It will come in case and kind. We expect the provinces to raise over $150,000. We have 10 provinces, so you can calculate how much that is going to be. We expect that our business supporters and partners are going to chip in. We are having a dinner day on the 31st of October, where we have the guest of honor, Dr. Mujuru, and we hope to raise $1 million. So we think we've done quite a bit in terms of fundraising. We also have food and the resources that remained after the youth and the women's conferences. I think we should have over 20 tons or so of minimi. So we are quite happy with what is happening.
What are you doing to differentiate this main congress from these conferences?
The way challenges, things were not administered well. We think that in terms of the congress, we learned a few things: communication, transport, food, and we think that we have now advanced our work in such a manner that we'll be able to have our congress run smoothly and purposefully.
That was a ZANU-PF spokesman Rugare Gumbo speaking with Jonga Kandemiri from Harare.
The Morgan Tsvangirai-led MDC is tomorrow holding a crucial National Council meeting to discuss the outcome of provincial election nominations ahead of the party's congress at the end of the month. Mr. Tsvangirai, his deputy Thokozani Kupe, and chairman Love Momoyo were elected uncontested. MDCT spokesman Douglas Monzora tells Studio 7's Blessing Zulu that congress preparations is on top on the agenda, adding, "Those aggrieved by the nominations will have a chance to raise their concerns."
Yes, there's a crucial national executive meeting tomorrow where we are going to deal with quite a number of items. Number one, we are going to deal with the logistics of Congress, the transportation, food, accommodation of all the delegates, and exactly the number of delegates coming from each province. We are also going to look at what came out of the provincial congresses, the leadership that was elected at the provincial congresses, as well as the nominations that were done. These nominations that were done for the national leadership will then be approved by the national executive. And those who have been approved to be duly nominated will then be put on the ballot, on the various ballots, if there are more than one.
But there are some who have raised concern with the manner in which the elections were held. What is going to happen?
We are going to be dealing with that as well. Each and every one who has got a complaint, we have to raise it and we will deal with those complaints. There are a number of complaints that were raised of undue influence and so on. We are going to look at the substance of that to see whether it is true or not true. And if it is true, did it affect the result of the election?
MDCT spokesman Douglas Monzora speaking with Studio 7's Blessing Zulu from Harare.
And the editor of the News Leader newspaper, Itai Zamara, was arrested today after calling on President Robert Mugabe to step down in a petition that was delivered to the office of the head of state. Thomas Chiripasi has more details from the capital.
Zamara and an activist identified as Tichawana Dano were arrested today after petitioning President Mugabe over the poor performance of the country's economy. After delivering the petition, Zamara and Dano went to Harare Central Police Station to notify the police that they were organizing protests that were set to begin next week in Harare. Zamara is also advertising the planned protests through his Facebook page and a WhatsApp group called Occupy Africa Unity Square. At the time of going to air, lawyers from the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights were still at Harare Central Police Station trying to locate Zamara and Dano. Police spokesperson Charity Charamba told Studio 7 by phone that she was investigating the matter before publishing a statement. A copy of the petition delivered to Mr. Mugabe's office that is in Studio 7's possession encourages the president to step down immediately and pave way for a process of engagement involving all national stakeholders towards the establishment of a new administration that takes over to manage the country and prepare for fresh elections. The petition also advised Mr. Mugabe that the protests, dubbed Occupy Africa Unity Square, would start on Monday until the president left office and met other demands, such as responding to the petition. Before his arrest, Zamara had also written on his Facebook page that he would be quitting journalism to focus on the anti-Mugabe demonstrations. The petition also urged Mr. Mugabe not to unleash state security agents on people who would be demonstrating. The planned demonstrations are similar to those that were held in Egypt and Tunisia that resulted in the leaders of those countries leaving office. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Thomas Chiripasi.
Relief agencies say farmers in some parts of Zimbabwe under various food security programs funded by the United States International Aid for Development, or USAID, have made giant strides in transforming agricultural production in the country. In a statement to mark World Food Day, representatives of World Vision Zimbabwe and several organizations running the $98 million USAID-backed Amalima and other programs launched last year say farmers are playing a key role in achieving food security stability in Zimbabwe. The programs are set to help over 300,000 vulnerable Zimbabwean households to become more food secure by 2018. The World Food Day's theme this year is Family Farming, Feeding the World, Caring for the Earth. World Vision's Communications Director Shamiso Matambanadzo tells Studio 7's Gibbs Dube that as the world commemorates World Food Day, there's hope that family farming will spearhead Zimbabwe's fight against hunger.
We actually train them because obviously they know their land. Obviously they know what they've been doing. And we come in and we say, what have you been doing and how has it been working? And then we also advise. We train, we've got technical experts that are on the ground on the different aspects of our programs that actually train them to do the different the VSLs, which is the village savings and loans. We've got agro dealers trained also to help the farmers to get inputs closer to where they are. It's like a two-way thing. They come and they give us knowledge about the areas that they're working in, and then we come in with our expertise and say, what is the best way that we can approach this so they can get something out of it instead of it being just a habit or how they just live, but how can they actually improve the way that they're living, the way that they're farming, the way that they're producing.
Do you see any kind of significant improvement among farmers?
Yes. Right now, as we speak, we've got our VSLs in both the Manicaland and the Mashingo provinces have saved in just the year that we've been operational. So basically from about February to about September, they've saved about $80,000 in total.
That was World Vision's communications coordinator Shamiso Matambanadzo speaking with Studio 7 from Harare.
You are listening to Studio 7 for Zimbabwe from the Voice of America in Washington.
Studio 7 can be found on the 4930, 5930 and 15455 kHz shortwave frequencies. We also broadcast on 909 medium wave or AM frequency.
Coming up,
Mutare residents struggle to make a living.
But first, Chris, a look at regional and international news.
Mozambique's ruling party holds a strong lead in early results from Wednesday's elections, but the main opposition party is rejecting the counts as fraudulent. The initial returns covering less than a quarter of polling stations show the Frelimo party leading rival Renamo 58-30% in the parliamentary vote.
Olympic athlete Oscar Pistorius will learn his fate Tuesday when a South African judge will hand down the sentence over the shooting to death of his girlfriend River Steenkamp. The judge adjourned the court today after lawyers delivered their closing arguments in the sentence hearing. The prosecutor said 10 years in prison would be the minimum term that society will be happy with. The runner's attorney argued for Pistorius, a double amputee, to avoid incarceration, saying the track star had become a victim in the case and had been treated unfairly.
Islamist militant group Boko Haram and the Nigerian government have agreed to a ceasefire. Nigerian Chief of Defense Staff Alex Bade issued an order today telling all service chiefs to comply with the ceasefire agreement between Nigeria and Boko Haram in all theaters of operations.
Progressive Teachers Union of Zimbabwe General Secretary Raymond Majongwe has refuted allegations that he is working with ZANU-PF as alleged by MDCT Mashonaland West Provincial Member Wilson Makanyaire yesterday. Makanyaire, a member of the PTUZ, claimed that he has broken away from the PTUZ to form the Progressive Professional Teachers Union of Zimbabwe, citing Majongwe's alleged relationship with the ruling party. Majongwe spoke earlier on with reporter Jonga Kandemiri about the allegations.
I think these accusations and allegations are seriously misplaced, very unfortunate and unfounded. And Wilson Makanyaire must be reminded that he is getting into a turf that will be very difficult for him as a person, because I'm actually consulting my legal advisors on what legal course to take. Because as far as I am concerned, he injured my reputation, made unfounded, startling, baseless allegations and accusations that do not necessarily end by putting my clout and character up for public scrutiny, but he proceeds to make statements to the effect that the PTUZ has split something that is nonsensical and simply a phantom of his wounded imagination.
Why would Mr. Makanyaire come up with these accusations and allegations?
These are people fighting for relevance. These are youngsters, people who think that denigrating, raising doubts about my clout will bring attention to him. We are not in competition. People must know that the enemy is ZANU-PF. They have failed to destroy ZANU-PF. They are now looking for targets. This is what weak minds do.
That was PTUZ Secretary Raymond Majongwe on the line from Harare with Jonga Kandemiri.
I am Rice Kagona, founder and band leader of the Bundu Boys. And you are listening to Studio 7.
You are listening to Studio 7 of the Voice of America, coming to you from Washington, D.C.
I'm uncertainty over President Robert Mugabe's succession and concern over his age, failing health and related issues have stalled growth in the country's ailing economy, with investors adopting a wait-and-see attitude. Many in Zimbabwe are restive. In Manicaland, for example, most residents say they are struggling to make ends meet as the cost of living continues to rise and the economy remains depressed as politicians bicker over positions. Correspondent Lloyd Amoyo spoke with residents in the eastern border city of Mtare who say they are not sure what the future holds for them and their families if things do not improve.
In Mutare's old suburb of Sakuva, it is a buzz as usual with activity as residents try to survive. Unlike in the past, even the most enterprising have nothing to show for their hard work as difficult times persist. Such is the story of Amai George Munets of Shinyawson's flats, who mourns of a failure to even pay fees for her children. She cannot pay her council rates, electricity and water bills, buy enough food, clothing, among other key needs. Amai Munets says many people in Sakuva are experiencing the same difficulties and are getting desperate every day.
We are crying over the challenges we are facing, such as school fees, money for rentals, and food to eat. Companies are closed and we have nowhere to turn to for survival. As for electricity bill, we are in a mess. We are failing to pay up.
Another Mtare resident, Leslie Nyamayaro, says life is now a challenge and it is now survival of the fittest. Nyamayaro says even surviving on vending has become difficult, especially with the local authority using its municipal and Zimbabwe Republic police officers to harass traders, adding misery to their already troubled lives. Mrs. Sekai Muriwo says hers is a tale of living from hand to mouth. She cannot make long-term plans about her future as a result. She says the closure of firms in Mutare has seriously affected the livelihoods of most families.
Ashino siana munyika metinogara. Kuna amwe anosangana one zvirinani. Kuna azhinji acho tirakandofanana.
It differs from person to person, but generally the point is that most people are struggling. No one has the money to cater for their basic needs. We are just moving on through getting the basics in life, and we are alive due to the grace of the Lord.
At least 10 strategic firms in the past 18 months have closed shop in the eastern border city, and another 5 are struggling, operating below 25% full capacity. Stephen Manwere says he is failing to send his children to school owing to non-employment and the incapacity to profitably operate an informal income-generating project. Regard Zirutwe says he has tried every trade he can imagine but has failed to make it. He says his attempt on vending has suffered a jolt due to council regulations that bar unlicensed vending in the city and in residential areas.
I do not even have money to pay for my lodgings and fees for my kids at home. I've tried vending, but there are serious challenges that I'm facing. I've also tried urban farming, but the council confiscated my horse, and going to rural areas is something that has its own challenges. We are suffering.
Mrs. Tambudzai Nasho of Sakuva in Mtare says a second-hand clothing venture is not doing well. She says citizens have no disposable income and it has had a knock on her business.
At the moment, there is nothing. People are suffering as there is no cash circulating among the people. Beginning last year, things have not been going on well for us in the business.
During the good old days, at least 15,000 residents from Sakuva High Residential Suburb were employed in the industrial area of the city. Major firms such as Cairns Foods, Motor Corporation, and Mtare Board are operating at below 30% capacity. Only Mtare Bottling Company is operating at full capacity and employing less than 1,000 employees, and the Mtare City Council, which has less than 1,500 workers. The city council is contemplating retrenchment, according to insiders, as the economy continues to decline. Reporting for Studio 7 in Mtare, this is Leda Moyo.
Thank you. Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk at 8:30 p.m. when our host will discuss with experts and you, the listeners, about First Lady Grace Mugabe's rallies. The last one was today, so we want to hear from you. You have heard her speaking. What do you think about the First Lady and her work in politics as she goes, Chris, towards taking over the leadership of the Women's League in ZANU-PF in December?
Yes, and to join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you back from our studios.
Okay, Chris, and now we go to the mailbag. What do we have?
Sandy, we have a very, a quite long
mail. Yes, quite a long one.
Yeah, he says, hi guys, I need God to bless you because you are updating us each and every day on good news. Greeting to you guys and Chango Nonona family, Nokodi, Raphael, Conwell, Jafet Mbiva, Onias Tembo, Prosper Tembo, Mkululi Ndebele, Tabani Ndebele, Levson Mpofu, Timson Mbiva, Alice Manyanga, Wanda Manyanga, Mboma Manyanga, Mavuto Kadamanja, Ellen Kadamanja, Baba Kadamanja, Muleveni Kanongota, Admire Kanongota, Simisiwe Simeon, Thompson Eliama, Joe and Kanongota guys from Love Mompofu, Baba Leno Mwenezi. Thanks, Jonga, and others. Have a good night.
Thank you so much, Baba Linoni in Mwenezi. Now we go to Mr. Christos Mutuswa. He says, with highest regards, I greet you all, saying forward ever, backward never, with your duties of saying it as it is. Greet for me the following people. My brothers, Stephen Mutuswa and family, Milton Mutuswa and family, Big Boy Mutuswa and family, not forgetting my twin brother, Ishmael Mutuswa, saying keep on praying. Goddess answers to all prayers. Ndini Mbavaye Mombe Ruben Christos Mutuswa. Thank you so much, Mr. Mutuswa. Wishing you all a pleasant evening, a very good night, a pleasant weekend. And we ask you, as our listeners, to continue rolling those emails into studio7@voanews.com so we can read your messages on air. The email once again is studio7@voanews.com.
And you can catch us on WhatsApp, and our text number is 001-202-465-0318.
Also remember that we are also available on Channel Zim on your WizTech free-to-air decoder every day. So to go on to WizTech, please go to your decoder and look for CH Zim. Channel Zim is available 24/7 on your satellite TV, smartphone, and online. So listen on www.channelzim.net. Dariwana, 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 Zime, Izerenero, Dariwana, 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 Zime, Chris, that's Atsimere Ropa from the Wakatuma Gospel Choir, setting us into the weekend. Now we recap today's top stories.
A violence erupted for the second time in less than a week in First Lady Grace Mugabe's Meet the People tour as she moves to take over the leadership of the powerful Women's League at the party's elective congress in December.
A Harare editor is arrested today after calling on President Robert Mugabe to step down.
And the Morgan Tsvangirai led MDC is tomorrow holding a crucial National Council meeting to discuss the outcome of provincial election nominations ahead of the party's Congress at the end of the month.
That's our broadcast this evening. Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele with Sitandekile and Ntunga Melinkomo. This is Sandra Nyaira in Washington.
And I'm Chris Gande wishing you a very good night and a very happy weekend.